So we're closing on our Exodus series today. I'm really looking forward to what God has in store for July and the rest of the year. It feels like things are ramping up all around. The Men's Foundry event taking place. The exciting news on the block. Some of you will remember Matt Hosier and Stephen came out from the UK. A really significant moment for us as a church in our Titus series. Matt, actually, they're just booking their tickets this week to come out middle of August. So if you're not on holiday, it's going to be a really special time with them. We got lots planned as well. I just had a conversation with someone this morning, us looking at how we can set up a hope business forum of sorts, where the business people at Hope can sort of come together to provide support and mentorship, but how can we bring God's kingdom in the business sphere in Harare and beyond? So stay tuned for that. God's definitely on the move. And there's much more that we could cover in Exodus, but what we wanted to do in this series, we might come back to it next year or something, is just to look at the part, for those of you who don't know the biblical story, where the Israelite people who were in slavery to the Egyptians, where they moved on a miraculous journey towards the promised land, and where we're ending after they get through the Red Sea today. And it's been a real series where God has taken us, as we've said there, from challenging us to live from a place of comfort and move into a place of God's calling in our lives, from the mundane tick-the-box faith to actually one where we expect the supernatural. Some of you will remember our supernatural traffic signals we did, and then from slavery to freedom, seeing us set free from the things that hold us, addiction, worried about what people think, and moving into a life of purpose. So today, with our three letters, we did, I think 2 weeks ago, bricks, something, and blessing. Does anyone remember the other B? Blood. You guys are actually listening. I just did that as a test. I knew. Joking. I actually had forgotten. Today we are doing pillars, parting, and provision. So another way for us to remember. So it helped. There we go. You might not have remembered anything I shared on 2 weeks ago, but at least you remembered those points. So we're going to look at this and dive into it. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love you to go to Exodus 13. If you don't, it's going to be on the screen. But if you have a paper Bible, you can turn to that. So we're going to pick up the story in verse 20. The Israelites have been shunted out of Egypt. Pharaoh in the end was like, go. The Egyptian people gave them possessions and said, just leave. There'd been plagues that had come upon the Egyptian people because of Pharaoh's hardness of heart. And we pick up the story, verse 20. They moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day or by night. And by night, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So in the days before map books, GPS, and Google Maps, the Israelites had pillars of cloud and fire, which to me would have been a lot more exciting than looking at my phone to get to places. That's what they had. We might sit and say, well, Craig, that's pretty far-fetched. Sure, maybe a cloud somewhere, but a blazing fire to light the night and show them the way. But you know, friends, after the miracles of Moses' staff turning into a snake, after his hand that he put into his cloak and it came out leprous, the plagues that came upon Egypt, I don't think a cloud and fire were very far-fetched to actually believe. And for us today, who might tend to sit and go, I don't think God does the miraculous things he did in Scripture. I'm not sure if he still does those sorts of things. Well, frankly, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead and is living, to believe in the miraculous is actually not the hardest thing. And so following Christ is a miraculous decision. I believe he does those sorts of things today. And I pray as a church that we see God do increasingly more amongst us in the supernatural. We're looking at a series into the supernatural and the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us. And why does God do it amongst us? It's so that people might see the reality of who he is. That he might show that the Christian faith is real above all other faiths. That's why he does the supernatural. And so open yourself up to that today. But back to the pillars. They were the guiding presence of the Lord, but they were only effective if the Israelite people decided to follow them. So just because the pillar was there, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire night was there, the Israelites could have gone, that's great, but actually we want to go in this other direction. They were only effective to the extent that the Israelites chose to go in that direction. And for us today, God's word, which is life and truth, will only have an impact in our lives if we choose to listen and obey what God says through it. We can read this just like the Israelites looked at the pillars, and we can go, God, that's great, but actually I'm going to go in that direction, as they could. And we can do the same with Scripture. And so it's only as effective as we choose to follow what God has to say through it. We'll only walk in the purposes of God if we listen to the inner leading of the Holy Spirit and say yes to what he's saying, leading us into, rather than, no, God, I'm actually going to go my own way. We're never going to be perfect. We're not always going to hear from God clearly. God knows that. He loves us anyway. It's why he went to the cross. But I want to challenge us as a church to say yes to what God calls us to do. It's always the best place to live. And it was so special seeing a few weeks ago, those of you who were at our baptism service, to just see, I think, 8-9 people saying, we want to nail our colors to the mast. We want to show people on the outside what God's done on the inside. We want to say yes to the things of God. There are a few who shared to say, we actually just want to line up our lives with the things of God, and taking a step towards them. So special to see. See, so often we get ourselves into difficult situations because we're not truly following the pillars of cloud and smoke, as it were, that God provides us every day. And suddenly in a panic, because we've been living opposite to God, we suddenly come to him and say, God, please help. And God does help us because he loves us. But so often we wouldn't need to live those situations if we chose to follow him in the first place. So you and I have those decisions to make. But following him is always best, the most purposeful way to live. Doesn't mean we won't have trials or difficulties, not at all. But does it mean we'll be close to the presence of God? You bet. And so don't walk away from his presence today. He's never going to leave us, but we can choose to ignore what he has for us. I want us to be a people, a family, who choose to listen and obey what God has to say to us. I love it there where it says, the Lord went before them. Those pillars of cloud and everything, it says he went before them. And the beauty of that is for each of us to know is that nothing takes God by surprise. He knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future. He knows everything you're going through right now, and he knows everything you will go through in the weeks and months ahead. He rules and reigns supreme over it all, and for that you and I can trust him. We're going to put our lives in his safe, strong hands and know that nothing, no matter what we come to in the future, will catch him by surprise. He'll work through it all. We can place our security in him. And the fact that God led the Israelites during the day and the night is this beautiful picture of constant support. God will never leave you. He's always close. He is always working. When you sleep, he's awake and he's active. He doesn't need to sleep. One day in heaven, we won't need to sleep either, which is quite a nice thing to think about. We're never going to be tired. So I look forward to those days. But whenever we need him, he's there. So that's the first one for us to know, is that he is always there in the mix. So next up, the parting. Looked at the first P, next one, parting. First pillars that he leads and guides us by, and then the parting of the Red Sea. So Pharaoh changes his mind. Pharaoh's like, go, get on with it. And then he changes his mind. He says, actually, these Israelite people need a lesson. I need to sort them out. So he musters his army, which was pretty big. It says 600 chariots and obviously people on foot. And he decides, I'm going to sort these Israelites out and I'm going to go after them. And so up he gets his army and he heads off. And the Israelites at that point, before they know that Pharaoh's after them, are probably pretty excited. They've left Egypt eventually. They're out of slavery. They've got possessions that have been given to them by the Egyptians. They're excited. Where's the promised land? Where's God going to take us? We can't wait for this moment ahead. Finally, our own land is on the horizon. And then one day, they look in the distance and they see this dust coming up from the desert. Maybe they hear, as it gets closer, the sound of an army or the sound of the wooden wheels of the chariots. But as it gets closer, they realize they're being pursued by the Egyptian army they thought they were finally free from. And panic sets in, as it probably would with us and as it did many times with the Israelite people. It sets in. And this is what they say later in Exodus. I must just jump to this to make sure I get it right. I think if you follow on Exodus 14, and I jump across to this verse 10. And this is what it says. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said, Moses, Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we might serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the wilderness. I want us to pause here quickly. You'll notice with the Israelite story again and again that God brings breakthrough, and the minute something difficult comes, they start complaining again. That's what they just do all the time, backwards and forwards. And I want us to pause quickly because people like Moses are provided by God to help us in our times of need, but we need to recognize that our true help comes from Christ, not from people. Janie, I'm joking. That was the Holy Spirit giving a quick call to say, Craig, make sure you say what you're supposed to say and not anything else. So people, God uses to help us in times of need, but it is God who is bringing those people to help us, and we must never see people as the ones who will solve our crisis. God is the one who solves our crisis. And so what God was always trying to get the Israelite people to do is to turn to him in worship. But you realize what they did all the time is they went straight to Moses to say, get us out of this problem, instead of going to God. And the whole time God was trying to say, worship me and come to me, and I will then help you in it. It's what God wants us to know this morning as well. If you're in a crisis today and you're looking for people to solve your problems, don't. Look to God to solve your problem. He'll bring the people that you need, but look to him first, and he will help in the process through people. But he must always be our first point of call. He is always our true source of support. And then on the back, live out of that closeness with God. So that was just an aside. You'll see this again and again. Turn to God first, not to people like the Israelites always did. Verse 13, we pick it up. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Moses is probably like, please, guys, don't ruin what God's trying to do again. Please, can you guys be quiet and let God work? And so God says to Moses, verse 16, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. Now skip to verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided. The people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And then what happens is they come into the sea, it's muddy, and they get their chariot wheels clogged, and they go into a state of panic. Then verse 26, the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on the right and on their left. In the midst of imminent disaster, God made a way. At the very last moment, when all seemed lost to the Israelites, the Lord miraculously came through. I want you to know as well that he will do the same for you. I've seen the Lord do that in my life personally, in big and small ways, where he comes through last minute, and often last minute. Sometimes he does come through ages out, but often he's just doing a little bit of a faith scenario to see, will we take him at his word? I've also seen the same in many people's lives. I wonder, it'd be good, just a show of hands, and this can be a big or small thing. How many of you would say you can think back now and remember a moment where it was obvious that the Lord came through for you in the nick of time? You could have said coincidence, but actually as you looked at it, you've been like, it had to be God. There were too many factors for it to be coincidence. Show of hands, anybody, a number of you, me as well. Great. If you haven't, don't worry, your time is coming. The rest of us stand saying it's true. He does that. And he does it all the time for us. You know, this isn't a side story. It's not the biggest deal, but I will tell you this. So last week, those of you here with Ryan and Kate, I was on the way to the airport. I thought I'm going to give myself an hour to get to the airport. Friday afternoon, best time to pick people up from the airport. So I thought I'd give myself an hour. And it just happened to be that they'd closed Glenora. And they'd also closed the Brayside way through. And so as I get to coming up to Glenora, I mean, it's, you know, we always obey our traffic signals in Zimbabwe. That's how we do things as a people. And so there was like about 8 lanes. And I sat there for an hour. And by now, those South Africans had landed already and were waiting outside. I managed to get a message to them through a friend who was on the same plane. And anyway, I'm just sitting there now going, I just actually don't think I'm going to pick these guys up. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I was like, I'm going to go home and call a taxi, or what am I going to do? But I couldn't even turn around. I was absolutely jam-packed and couldn't get through. So I thought, well, I'm going to do a little bit of a through-the-bush type scenario, obviously abiding by rules and regulations and going on roads. I decided I'm going to do this through Brayside, and I'm sure one of those roads I'm going to be able to find a back way. But they'd obviously blocked every single one of those small little roads as well to get to the airport. So I eventually go, and I stopped and I spoke to the roadworks guys, and they're like, I said, listen, I'm just trying to get to the airport. How can I go? And they're like, you can go Chiremba Road, or you can go back through town and you can go Seki Road. And I said, there's about 7 lanes of cars, never going to happen. They said, well, sorry, no other option for you. So I was sitting there and I was just going, I just actually don't know how I'm first going to get home or get these people. So I suddenly had this idea that I would talk to one of the guys there on the roadblock and just say, listen, I'm a pastor. Could you make a plan for me? I just had to throw the card, eh? So I had to try. Just please, can you make a plan for me? And I didn't tell him it was an emergency. I didn't tell any stories. And as this is happening, miracle, a Mars ambulance comes up behind me. And the Mars ambulance, absolute miracle. I get out and I talk to the Mars guy and I'm like, I'm just trying to find out, are you also trying to go to the airport? And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to go. Now, I didn't ask him why he had to go, but I now go to the man. I just say, listen, I'm really sorry, but we need to get to the airport, and so does this ambulance. And so, please, can you let us two through? We really need to go. And he's like, I'll make a plan for you. So he opens for me. Little did he know there would be another 50 cars that make their way behind us, but that's a story for another time. And now we think this is amazing. And so we get up on the back road. We didn't break the new tar. We drove on the dirt. And as we get to the big roundabout by the old post office to try and get through, they won't let us through. They're like, that guy wasn't supposed to let you through. So I was just like, I'm really sorry. I need to get to the airport. The ambulance behind me needs to get to the airport. Not the other 50, but just us two. He was having none of it. So we now drove on the dirt towards Coke Corner, outside of the roundabout, along the dirt, and managed to circle back and get there. But the reason why I tell you is, a long story short, is God came through last minute through a man on the side of the road and a Mars ambulance that came just to help me on the way. And God came through. I don't know how we were going to get back otherwise, or to collect these friends. And they weren't even that upset by waiting 2 hours. It took me 3 hours to get to the airport, by the way. So it's not an incredibly important story to share, but I make a note of these things. Good, God comes through in the big and the small things. And my challenge to each of us is get out a book and start making a note of answered prayers, times you've seen God come through. If you've been for a while in the faith, think back as long as you can and use that book as like a treasure trove of when you hit a crisis to look back and go, but he did come through for me. He did come through. He did come through. He did come through. He's going to come through in this scenario as well. So do that as a story in your life. But what happens when it doesn't feel like he's come through? What happens that maybe now or maybe in the past you've sat and you went, but in that situation, it doesn't feel like he did a miracle like the parting of the Red Sea in my life? What happens in those moments? In those moments, I want to suggest that there is one moment that you can always look back to know he came through, and that's on the cross of Christ. So this side of eternity, no matter how bad things get, there is one moment that each of us can always look back to go, he came through, and he did it then. And so even if in this lifetime it looks like there's moments he hasn't, he did enough on the empty cross. That was the place where Jesus' love was displayed for each of us, the place where our sin was paid for, where we had a way back to God, the place where if we choose, life beyond the grave can be with him for all eternity in heaven. You see, we're passing through this world, it's short. We don't know when it's going to end. We need to live with an eternal perspective if we're to see the trials of this life in their proper context. And this Red Sea parting, there's a special parallel story that we need to see when we look at it. You see, the Israelites experienced freedom from slavery as they saw the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. And in faith, they had to step into that open space, they had to step into it, and they walked onto dry land as their enemies were destroyed. You know, for you and I, if we're Christ followers here today, we can look to the miraculous life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we trust that what Jesus did in faith, we walk through, as it were, we walk through the Red Sea into a life of purpose on earth and into the place where the promised land of heaven looks ahead as the enemy of sin is washed over by the blood of Christ like he washed over the Egyptian army. So it's a beautiful picture of what Christ did in our lives. And then thirdly, final point, we move on to God's supernatural provision. Let's read a bit further. Exodus 15, we'll jump a little bit. Verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. They went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and they didn't find any water. So after 3 days, you're pretty thirsty. At that point, your supplies would have been depleted. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. That's why it's named Marah, which means bitter. The people grumbled against Moses. Notice again, don't go to God. Go straight to a person again. They grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Not sure the significance of the log, but God does some crazy stuff. We need to listen. Even if he tells us some rather strange things to do, he might do something miraculous on the back of it. And so God makes the water clean. And then in Exodus 16, we jump across there. The Lord supernaturally provides food. Manna from heaven, it fell so that you could make it into cakes. Almost probably looked a little bit like snow, as it were, but you could bind it together, make it into sort of cakes to eat. They say tasted quite sweet. And then in the evenings, quail. Now, I'm not sure how they caught the quails, or if they dive-bombed into the ground and killed themselves from heaven, or if they miraculously died as they flew over and just suddenly... I mean, I'm not exactly sure how God organized this. But he provided quail, which was absolutely incredible for them to eat. But I want to read from verse 18 as we get towards the end today. That gives us a doorway into the hearts of the Israelites and possibly at times ours as well. So it says, verse 18. When they measured it with an omer, so they were measuring the manna that they picked up, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. And whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat and shares there as much as each family needed. It said that earlier. Verse 19, and Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it left over until the morning. So collect what you need. Don't collect more than what you need. Verse 20, but they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until the morning. It bred worms and stank. Moses was angry with them because he just told them, only take what you need for today. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as it could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted away. They couldn't get any more. So the Lord provided incredibly, but there's two things that God wanted the Israelites to know. Firstly, they should collect enough for their needs. He would provide exactly what they needed for their family need, for their placement of life, for how many kids they had, for how many adults, what they needed. So firstly, they should collect for their needs. And secondly, if they collected more than they needed and tried to store it or to get greedy, it would rot. And this could have been motivated by fear. So maybe some people were going, oh my goodness, what if he doesn't provide tomorrow? What if he doesn't give me the manna tomorrow? I better store some up. Or it could have been motivated by greed, going, well, I can. So let me store up more. Let me send out my kids. Let me hoard as much as I can for myself. But neither are healthy heart states. Either trying to go after God's provision because of fear that he might not provide in the future, or trying to keep hold of so much because we want to hoard what he has given us. What's the principle? As a loving Father, God wants to provide for our needs, not our greeds. So we should recognize that he wants to give us our daily bread, but he wants our treasure to be in heaven rather than on earth. And so friends, the Lord wants us to recognize today which camp we sit in. Are you a person when it comes to financial provision or provision of food, your daily bread? Are you somebody who is in a panic because you don't know if he'll provide for you tomorrow? Or are you somebody who stores and wants to hoard because you have so much that he's given you and you don't want to be able to provide for other people? We'll be on those different camps. Are we those collecting manna and panicking that God won't provide tomorrow? Or are we hoarding more than we need out of a little bit too much focus on earthly storage? Both might need some alignment today. And can I just say that I'm blown away, and we're blown away by a team, as a team by Hope Church, and how as a people we live generous towards the things of God. We're constantly blown away by it, by faithful, generous giving towards the kingdom of God. And man, it's exciting to see people putting resources, giving sacrificially, saying, we just want this to be for the advance of God's kingdom. We're going to share more on this in the weeks ahead. But as I close, I just wanted to say each month, because of your generosity, we're able to give incredibly out of God's provision to so many ministries in Zimbabwe and beyond. And we really take a holistic approach as a church. So from helping newborn babies, there's about 300 newborn or disowned babies that we help partner with each month to help feed and sustain, to training people off the street within DAPI, getting themselves on their own 2 feet, training 200 to 300 a month so they can provide income for themselves, from being part of church planting globally through Advance to regular preschool and orphanage support that we help in Epworth and Stapleford and Campazoom and other places, from helping people get set free from drug addiction to sharing the gospel through Alpha. Your generosity helps us be God's hands and feet, and we don't even ask for it. That's the crazy thing about the people at Hope Church and you as a family here. We don't even ask. We have a little money box there and people say, hey, how do we give? Can we transfer? What can we do? We don't ask for it, but God's done something in our hearts as a church where I think he's just called us and drawn us to be a hope-giving church, a generous church. And it's just part and parcel of who we are, and it's just a wonderful thing. This past week, there was there's a really big crisis in one area of Zim. Miracle Missions and others are helping with it. But there's a really big group who are facing immediate starvation. And there's people dying already. There's absolutely nothing there. And so we could give $2,000 to make sure that that area, help with other churches, survives. We'll look at what we can do next month. But it's just a privilege. We get to be part of it. And by your generosity and overflow of God's provision, we get to do more. And so it's a beautiful thing to be a part of, and we're so grateful. And we know that there's more that God's called us to as a church. We know he wants us to bring hope to many. And so I want to say thank you. When we speak on God's provision, I really do believe as a church, we're living that out. And it's an absolutely beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And so the challenge for each of us is to always live in that camp. If we're living out of fear of God providing, or if we're hoarding, say, God, which camp are we in? How can we line this up with you as our Father? And how can we live building treasure in heaven? So should we stand? And then we're going to pray into those 3 points this morning. Let's pray together. You can close your eyes, or if you're exploring faith, you don't have to. You can just listen. But I think God wants to speak to us out of those 3 things this morning. And the first one would be the pillars of cloud and fire. And maybe you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow the one who wants to lead and direct you. Maybe that's you here today. Or maybe you've been a Christ follower for a while, but you know there's areas of your life where God's saying, I want you to go this way and follow me this way. And up until now, you've been going, God, actually, that's fine, but I want to go that way. And I'm going to go that way. And today, the Holy Spirit would say, it's time for you to follow the pillars of cloud and fire. It's time for you to take my word as truth. It's time for you to stake your life on it. It's time for you to walk in the purpose that I've called you to. And so, Lord Jesus, whether we know you or not here today, would you show us in your soft, loving way, would you show us areas of our life where we aren't following the God who brings pillars of cloud and fire, the God whose word transforms us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, will you show that to us? Will we be a people who follow you radically? We take your word as truth. We live sold out for you, the King. We're willing to line up our lives with the truth. and never depart from it. Would you show us that? And the Holy Spirit will show you that. He'll help you line up. And then the parting. Maybe some of us are in a crisis at the moment. Maybe some of us have been, or maybe some of us will be in a crisis at some point in time. If you're in one right now, I want to encourage you to remember that God is a God of the miraculous. He's a God of the supernatural. He's a God who comes through for us in ways we don't expect. He's a God who meets us at our point of need. And even when it looks like he hasn't met us, we can look to the empty cross to know the greatest crisis of our lives has been paid for. The sin that destroys us and keeps us far from God has been paid for on the cross of Christ. The greatest crisis. But today I want you to know, we serve a miracle working God. He comes through for us and he'll come through for you. Remember what he's done in your life when crisis comes, to build faith for what he has in store. The final one, provision. We're probably in two camps here today. Some of us are living sold out and we got open hands with our resources, which is the story of Hope Church. It's a story of generosity. It's a story of putting our resources into the advance of the kingdom, and it is a beautiful thing and it's a privilege to be a part of. But maybe some of us here today, we're struggling because things are difficult financially. Things are hard. Today, God wants you to know that he will give you everything that you need. He will provide everything that you need. Maybe not everything that you want, but everything that you need. You can trust him. You can walk with him. He will use different ways. He'll use people. He'll use provision, however he wants to, but he's got you. You can walk with him in that. Therefore, some of us, we're in danger of hoarding. We live in the northern suburbs. We're in the top 3% globally, maybe 2%, majority of us in this room. We live in absolute wealth compared to everywhere else in the world. And for some of us, the challenge will be, how much do we save? How much do we store? Is our priority a little bit too much on earth, or are we investing in heaven, investing in the kingdom? And the Holy Spirit will show you. He'll tell you. He'll tell you what you need versus the greed. He'll show you what you need versus what you want. He'll show you the things to enjoy and celebrate because he's a great God who provides, and he'll show you when it's just a little bit too much. He'll show you how much to give your kids, and just so you don't spoil them, he'll show you all those things, and he'll give you a big picture of his kingdom advance. So God, for those three areas for each of us, I pray that we would be a family who follows the pillars of faith as you lead us. We celebrate the miraculous partings of Christ as you do in our lives. And we live as people who know the provision of God. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this wonderful series. Thank you for a series that's challenged us and drawn us into the more you've called us to. We can't wait for what you have in store next month and for the rest of the year. Pray as we head out from here, we would celebrate what you're doing. We'd meet people that we don't know. We'd be a family that's outward looking, not inward looking. A family that cares for the needs of others, not looking to our own interests. That we would live out the life you've called us to. What a privilege and what a joy. Your name we pray. Amen. Amen.